Hi, I'm John Green. Welcome to Crash Course Religion. So meet the three sisters, Corn, Bean, and Squash. According to Haudenosaunee tradition, they sprouted from the daughter of a spiritual figure, Sky Woman, providing the gift of agriculture. The Haudenosaunee have long believed the three sisters grew best when planted together, both a spiritual and practical perspective. Corn grows in the middle as a structure for the beans to climb, squash provides shelter from the harsh sun, and beans bind all three together as they grow. And around 500 years after these practices began, botanists have confirmed these insights with Western science. But wait a minute, aren't science and religion supposed to be locked in an eternal grudge match? Well, as it turns out, that rivalry might be a little overhyped. Let's start with the obvious. Religious beliefs, of course, can be incompatible with scientific understanding. Consider the age of the Earth. Most scientists believe Earth formed around 4.5 billion years ago, and they came to this conclusion by dating the time it takes for certain radioactive elements in Earth's rocks to decay. It took hundreds of years and lots of experimentation. And that's just not how understanding works in many religions. Like, some Christians believe the Earth's age is laid out in the Bible, making it around 6,000 years old. Some Hindu texts say the Earth and the universe as a whole are closer to 150 trillion years old. And sections in the Quran seem to claim that the Earth's creation lasted anywhere between 6,000 and 300,000 years, depending on who you ask. In each of these examples, knowledge is handed down through sacred texts believed by many to be both literal and irrefutable truth. And probably nowhere is this incompatibility more raw than in the standoff between creationism and the theory of evolution. Christian creationism holds that God created the world in 6 days. Adam, the first man, was formed like a sculpture from Earth's clay, and Eve was brought to life when God gave her Adam's rib. It's said that God created Adam in his image, a belief that's sacred and deeply held by many Christians, as well as some Jews and Muslims, although the story varies a bit in each telling. But then along comes a guy named Charles Darwin, and when he dropped On the Origin of Species in 1859, it shook a lot of people up, because, like, if life evolves from other life, that is a real problem for people who believe that all life was created by God at the same time. Darwin's work was the foundation for the modern theory of evolution, which states that humans evolved over a long period of time from an ancestor we also have in common with other apes. And that idea doesn't vibe with creationism. Or does it? We know from past episodes that perspectives are incredibly diverse, not only across religions, right, but also within them. So it would only make sense that creationism is also multifaceted. Some creationists, called theistic evolutionists, believe in a less literal interpretation of the Bible, where Adam and Eve are metaphors and evolution happens as an expression of God's creativity. They've found a way to reconcile the seemingly conflicting ideas of religion and science. And in that respect, they're not alone. Like, a recent survey found that while 59% of Americans think science and religion often conflict, only 30% think that science conflicts with their own religious beliefs. So it would seem that outside of big, heated debates like creationism or the age of the Earth, which are, of course, very important, on the individual level, a lot of people can and do find ways to balance their religion with science. So why do we think of these two concepts as eternal enemies? Well, I think there are a few reasons, but one is a story you may have heard about a telescope and a guy named Galileo. But that story is likely not the full truth. Let's head to the thought bubble. 500 years ago, it was common knowledge that the Earth was the center of the universe. Astronomers knew it, mathematicians knew it, priests knew it, but then it all came into question in the 1600s with the Italian astronomer Galileo Galilei. As the common story goes, Galileo's fervent insistence that the sun was actually the center of the solar system, thank you very much, was a big problem for him because the Catholic Church was heavily invested in the Earth-centric perspective. Despite warnings from the Pope, Galileo published a book that supported his sun-centered theory, and he was eventually called before the Roman Inquisition, thrown in prison, and only spared a tortuous death when his powerful friend stepped in to beg for his life. Or at least so the story goes. The truth, as always, is a bit more complex. The Inquisition knew its case against Galileo was weak, and so they offered him a plea deal. He was charged with suspicion of heresy and sentenced to a single day in prison before moving to house arrest. And at his very short trial, Galileo admitted to not necessarily believing himself that the sun was the center of the solar system. Thanks, Thought Bubble. So there were consequences to Galileo's scientific inquiry, and those consequences were enforced by the Catholic Church. But it's important to remember that Galileo's model didn't just threaten the church's religious authority, because the church wasn't just a religious institution. It was also a hugely powerful political institution, with wealth and leaders scattered throughout Europe. And more than a challenge to religious doctrine, I would argue that Galileo's inquiries undermined the church's political power and influence. So at least from my perspective, the story of Galileo is as much about those in power not wanting their authority to be questioned as it is about religious being inherently incompatible with science. After all, the church could have embraced a sun-centered view of the solar system and still existed as a church. In fact, it has. But the idea that religion and science are locked in perpetual tension is, of course, quite sticky, and stories like Galileo's have reinforced it over generations. This opposition was especially popularized in the 19th century by a couple guys you've probably never heard of, despite them likely influencing your views on religion and science. John William Draper and Andrew Dickinson White were academics, and both had their own reasons for positioning science against religion, particularly Catholicism. Draper worried about the growing power of the Pope, while White was concerned about overly strict interpretations of religion. Out of their writing, a new theory was born, the conflict thesis, which pitted science as an inevitable winner in a battle with religion. The thesis claimed there were a few points of contention that made science and religion as incompatible as Batman and the Joker. The first argued that what we know about the world through science couldn't possibly be squared with what we know about the world through religion. It was a question of epistemology, which asks, what can we know and how do we know it? One thing we can know is that when people use the word epistemology, it's a shibboleth for I know more than you. And shibboleth is, of course, a word that you only use if you're trying to sound smart. What is the difference between sounding smart and being smart? I don't know. I'm in the sounding smart business. So epistemologically, can we know that Jesus was resurrected? Can we know it in the way we know, for instance, that Dr. Pepper was invented in 1883 by Dr. Charles Alderton? The second problem was closely related, about how we gain what might be considered valid knowledge. In other words, it was a question of methodology. It argued the means by which we gain knowledge in religion are incompatible with the methods we use in science. The third contention was about ethics. Like, in the 19th century, there was a fear that acceptance of Darwin's theory of evolution would lead to an abandonment of the ethical behaviors enforced by belief in religion. And the fourth contention claimed that science would inevitably question the social power and authority of religion, as it did with Galileo. But the conflict thesis oversimplified the ways people practice religion, of course, and also oversimplified the ways people practice science in real life. After all, there have been plenty of religious scientists. George Washington Carver, who made great leaps in agricultural science, called his laboratory God's Little Workshop. Barbara McClintock, who won a Nobel Prize in 1983, considered scientific practice as a kind of mysticism. And our very own Dr. Samuel Ramsey, host of Crash Course Biology, is a lifelong Christian. So let's return to the story of the three sisters for a moment. The Crops were part of Haudenosaunee spirituality. They believed that they were protected by three inseparable spirits. But the agricultural practice was also based on detailed observations of and knowledge about the physical world, an example of what scientists today call traditional ecological knowledge. In recent decades, scientists have been partnering with and following the lead of indigenous groups across the world to apply traditional ecological knowledge garnered over hundreds of thousands of years to modern-day environmental threats like climate change, increasing demands on our food supply, and more. And when conflict does arise between Western science and traditional knowledge, it's often a lot more nuanced than simply science bad, religion better, or vice versa. Like during the summer of 2019, at the base of Hawaii's tallest mountain, Mauna Kea, protesters blocked an access road to what would be the location of the world's largest telescope. The dormant volcano is sacred to many indigenous Hawaiians who see it as the umbilical cord of the world and a dwelling place of the gods. For astronomers, Mauna Kea is important because its pristine atmosphere, free from light pollution, makes it one of the best locations for an observatory in the world. And that clash might look like religions literally standing in the way of scientific progress, but we need to take a step back here because framing is everything when it comes to telescopes, and also to life. You see, besides the mountain's religious significance, there's also its ecological importance. Indigenous Hawaiians have a rich history of working with the land, and there were concerns that the massive telescope could damage the mountain's fragile ecosystem. On top of that, as there usually is in these stories, there's also the shadow of empire and colonization. Indigenous Hawaiians have long worked to reclaim their traditional beliefs and languages, which were suppressed for many decades under American colonial rule. The ongoing debate over this planned observatory highlights just how many other factors there are in this web, not only science and religion, but also history, power, authority, culture, and people. And a path forward may be emerging because in 2022, Hawaii's governor signed legislation that would eventually transfer control of the area to a governing board made up of representatives from both astronomical observatories and Native Hawaiian communities. The intersection of science and religion takes us to the edge of what we can know and also asks us to consider how we can know it. But it's also worth noting that many non-theistic religions don't really conflict with scientific inquiry at all. And in many cases, theistic religions have found ways to make space for science rather than presenting themselves in opposition to it. Science, in turn, is in the business of acknowledging what we don't yet know and even what we can't know. And so I would argue that the conflict theory, while there certainly has been and will continue to be conflict between science and religion, is just too simplistic a lens through which to consider this relationship. In fact, I'd argue there's much to learn when we find a way to consider religion and science together. In our next episode, we're going to look at a similarly complex and equally tangled intersection: religion, sex, and gender. I'll see you then. Thanks for watching this episode of Crash Course Religions, which was filmed here at our studio in Indianapolis, Indiana, and was made with the help of all of these nice people. If you want to help keep Crash Course free for everyone forever, you can join our community on Patreon.